You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 21, Jeremiah says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And we love that verse. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. In fact, it says here his mercies and his compassions are new every morning. But we need to remember the context that we find it in. Jeremiah is sitting, it seems, in a cave, at least by tradition, on Mount Moriah, Jeremiah's grotto, overlooking the city, which is smoldering. The walls have been torn down. The temple has been destroyed. Starvation has had its impact on the street. Mothers watched their children die. The men of war were slaughtered. The scene before him is unimaginable in its difficulty, in its darkness. And he had warned them for 40 years. For 40 years, 365 days a year, 24/7, Jeremiah had warned them that it was coming, and if they'd have turned, it could have been avoided. And now it's come to pass, and the scene of it all is in front of him, and he is the weeping prophet. He is brokenhearted. He is looking at what has transpired, and he's overwhelmed. Maybe some of you overwhelmed today. You know, Jesus said, "In this world, you have tribulation." He said that. This is earth. We forget. We get confused. This is not heaven. This is earth. "In this world, you have tribulation," but he said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jeremiah is sitting there looking at this scene. Verse 1, he says, "I am the man that has seen affliction. By the rod of his wrath, I've seen God's chastening rod come in his anger. I'm eyewitness to it. He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light." God has made me see all of this. He's led me into it. "Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all of the day." We can get in that frame of mind. God has turned against me. He's not what I always thought he was, and everything that he always told me he was that got me out on the limb to trust him, and then he sawed off the limb behind me, and he's not who he said he was. He's turned against me, Jeremiah says. "My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones." Bitterness, remorse, sin, how it prematurely ages. "He hath builded against me," and the idea is he's like builded a wall against me. "He's compassed me, surrounded me with gall and travail," with bitterness and the fruit of sin. He sees the bitterness of it in front of his own eyes. "He has set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy." I feel trapped. I can't escape. I feel like I'm in some kind of bondage. "He's made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." At least three times in the book of Jeremiah, God had said to Jeremiah, "Don't pray for this city. Don't pray for this people. I'm not going to listen to you." In fact, in Jeremiah 51, he said, "Though Moses or Samuel stood before me, I wouldn't hear their prayer." He said, they've sown to the wind. They're going to reap the whirlwind. Don't pray for them. He says, "I've cried. It's like the Lord isn't listening. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was to me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places." Jeremiah said, "I feel like a victim. I feel like the Lord is clawing at me. He hath turned aside my ways. Look, he hath pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate." Isn't it interesting to hear Jeremiah with these emotions? Look at verse 12. "He hath bent his bow, and he has set me as a mark for his arrow." He's made me a target. That's what a mark is. He set me as a mark for his arrows. God has made me, I feel like I'm his target. You ever see that Far Side cartoon where there's one bear looking at another bear, and the bear's looking at this bear that has a bullseye on his back, and the one bear says, bummer of a birthmark, huh? You ever feel that way? Jeremiah says, I feel like he put the bullseye right on my back. I feel like he's made me a target. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins, to my deepest emotions. He said, the bummer about being a target is God is a great marksman. And he says, I feel like his arrows have gone right into my emotions, into the deepest part of my being. I was a derision to all my people. Jerusalem mocked me. Their song was about me all day. I was the brunt of all their jokes. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood, which was the poison, but the most bitter of tastes. He hath also broken my teeth, as things weren't bad enough, with gravel stones. In other words, the famine got so bad, they were scraping the threshing floor, scraping the ground to get together any remnant of wheat. And then when it would be baked, the bread would have sand and gravel in it. And he says, you know, my teeth are broken on gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. I'm mourning. Thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I have forgotten about prosperity. I've forgotten all about what it's like to be blessed, Lord. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood, the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He says, my strength, my hope is perished from the Lord because, verse 19, because I'm remembering, my mind is fixed on my afflictions and everything that's gone wrong, the bitterness. He says, I'm remembering these things still. I'm humbled within. This is Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah the prophet. Yes, Jeremiah the prophet, a man of God who is allowed to see things that we only dream of. This is his perspective. He's worn out. This has happened to God's prophets. Yes, it happened to God's children. Yeah. It's happened to pastors too often. Can it happen to any of us? Yeah. We get to that place and we're broken, and Lord, you're not who I always thought you were. Is this some new side of you I've never seen? Why is this going on? I feel like I'm a target. I feel like I'm wearing out. I forget what it's like to be in your blessing. I don't have any peace. I can't get it out of my mind. And here's the thing with Jeremiah. No counselor can help him. No human resource can help him because what he's experiencing is reality. If he closes his eyes and blinks his eyes and opens them up, he still sees Jerusalem there, destroyed in front of him. He's dealing with reality. There's nothing that anybody could say to change that. So what does he do? What do we do when we come to that place? Our pain is reality. Our difficulty is reality. What he's seeing is actually before his eyes. Verse 21, he says this. This I recall, I have to call something back, he says, to my mind, and therefore have I hope. This is what I'm recalling. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He says, I remembered. I had to. You know, when we come to that place where we don't know what God is doing, when we don't know, it seems, who God is, where there's some new side of him we've never seen, we get to sometimes a place in our lives where we're in deeper water than we've ever been in. And what we've known of God and of his faithfulness up to that point has been sufficient, and all of a sudden we're in a circumstance with what we know is not sufficient. We're groping. We're saying, Lord, how can this be happening? How can you let this happen? Why am I in so much pain? Why am I in so much difficulty? What do we do when we come to that place where we say, I don't know. What is God doing? I don't know. Why is he doing it? I don't know. In fact, the title of this book, Lamentations, from the Latin, it means to lament. You understand that. But the Hebrew title is the first word, how. That's the name of the book. How? Not in, you know, not how, Kemosabe, but how? How can you let this happen is the idea. How? And we come to that point where we have to say, I don't know. Then what do we do there when we're there? And when Jeremiah shows us, the book of Lamentations has been preserved for a specific reason. God has kept it, and he's handed it to us because of the lesson that's contained in it. When Jeremiah gets to the place where he doesn't know what God's doing, why God's doing it, how he could let these things happen, what he does is he falls back on what he does know. When we are in territory where we don't know, the safest thing to do is fall back on something that we do know. And he says, I determined to recall this to mind and realize then that I had hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we love that verse. His mercies are new every morning. Well, actually, we compile it out of two verses. But remember the context. Remember the context. His mercies are new every morning. Not most mornings. Every morning. January 1st through the end of December. Every morning ends in night. Every morning his mercies are new. Every morning brings a new day. Every morning his mercies spring afresh. God had challenged Jerusalem and said, you know, you've turned in other directions. You've hewn out cisterns that hold stagnant water. And you've forsaken the spring of living waters. The great thing about the spring was it was fresh every day. It was fresh. God and Jeremiah is remembering, Lord, yeah, your mercies, they're new every morning. Your compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're not a believer. I assume that you're here on a rainy day because some friend's been dragging you out. Your spouse has been making you come. Somebody struck a deal with you. I'll go here with you if you'll go here with me. Or if you'll go to church with me, I'll buy you breakfast or lunch, or you're here for some reason. But to the unbeliever, his mercies are new every morning. Maybe you've been putting God off, enjoying your sin, not wanting to turn, not wanting to hear. And yet it says his mercies to you are new every morning. It's another day. It's another open door, another day, another chance to repent. God's given you another day. He's given you another day to turn away from your sin and turn to him for his forgiveness and his love. He's given you another day to escape hell and eternal suffering. He's given you a door again, another day to live, to turn to him. His mercy is new again today in your life. Think of how many died yesterday in this world. Innumerable. Think of how many dropped dead like that. How many die in a tsunami? And here you are, wrestling, refusing. I remember those days before I was saved, wrestling with God, arguing with the people that were witnessing to me. And early on, it was okay, because if I got their goat and got them mad, I felt great about it. But the problem was the things they were saying to me when I was alone, I couldn't win. When they weren't there anymore, I was still arguing and losing. And God was merciful, and he waited, and the day finally came. And I woke up that day, and I had no conception that day of the mercies that were extended to me. But before that day was over, I was saved, and my sins were washed away, and I had come into his kingdom, and my place in heaven had been reserved. And if you're here as an unbeliever, we'll give you a chance at the end of the service to change that. His mercies are new to you this morning. No strings from yesterday. No strings on your past. No conditions. His mercy extended to you brand new today, that you can come and receive his love and his forgiveness. No strings attached. For the believer, another day to walk with God. Like Enoch, he walked with God until God took him. Another day for us to walk with God until he takes us, to serve him, to walk with him. I get up this morning, his mercies were new. The alarm clock went off an hour before it should have. I just saw this new alarm clock advertised on television yesterday. And you set the alarm clock. It's run by batteries. It sits. You put it on your end table, wherever you put it, your bureau. And when the alarm goes off in the morning, before the music starts, it rolls off of your bureau onto the floor and then rolls somewhere till it stops. And then it starts playing music. And you have to get up and find it to turn it off. Depending on what kind of a mood I was in, that alarm clock wouldn't last long, I'll tell you that. The alarm clock went off this morning. I heard it. My ears worked. I swung my legs out of bed, and these old bones creaked a little bit. They stood up. And I could see the numbers in the dark and went over and turned off this stupid alarm clock. I went in the bathroom and turned on the faucet, and fresh water came out. I could put it in my mouth. I could drink it. I could wash my face with it. I could see. I walked downstairs and grind my coffee beans and open my Bible and eat breakfast. And there's millions of people that couldn't do any of that today. Millions of them. And his mercies were new to me. I'll look in the faces of my kids today. And they're all walking with the Lord. And I'm overwhelmed with his mercies. Paul said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can take nothing out. Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in, to whether I base or I bound, to be content. We woke up today to his mercies. Even if we're wealthy, there's something we need to remember about how daily he deals with us. Belshazzar, in his wealth, forgot to glorify the God in whose hand his breath was. Doesn't matter how many millions of dollars we have in the bank. The Bible says the fact that our heart takes the next beat and that we draw our next breath is because of his mercy. No amount of money can sustain life. Belshazzar, in all of his wealth, he took everything for granted. The richest man maybe in the world at that point in time. God said, you forgot to glorify the God in whose hand your very next breath is. We forget, even if we have $1 million in the bank, that the next meal on our table, we are just as dependent on God as Elijah was to have the ravens come and feed him. We're just as dependent on God to have quail fall out of the sky and feed us. Our lives can change in a day and in a moment. You know what it's like when they know a snowstorm's coming to go to the market and try to get bread or milk? In a day, that can all change in this country, in one day. Jeremiah says, you know, my circumstances didn't change. When I looked again, Jerusalem was still in front of me. But he had been doing something wrong. He had been standing in the place of the unbeliever, and he had been judging God through the circumstances. He had been using the difficulty and the pain of the circumstance as a lens and judging God through the circumstance instead of judging the circumstance through who God was. And we can so easily do that. And he said, what I remembered was there are certain things I do know about God, and he does make a daily provision of mercy and of compassion. And for each day's need, there has always been the provision of grace to meet that need. For every day's need, there has been each day's grace. And he said, the scene before my eyes didn't change, but my attitude changed. Because I remembered daily I needed to partake. The children of Israel had learned in the wilderness that they had to gather the manna, give us this day our daily bread, daily. And God wanted it that way. He wanted daily dependence upon him. It says if they gathered enough manna for 2 or 3 days, it rotted and bred worms. It would only last for the day they gathered it, and every day they had to experience the miracle of his provision again, and it was the way that he wanted it. He wanted them coming to him every morning so he could demonstrate his mercy to them. And he says, compassions are new every morning, and we need them to be that way, don't we? Because our infirmities are there every day. I barely awake before my sinful nature exerts itself. My sinful nature exerts itself when I'm asleep, I think. One time Kathy hit me and said, "You're snoring." She hit me. It was in the middle of the night. It hit me. And out of my mouth came, "What do you want, chimes?" And I don't even know if I was awake or asleep, but it just, you know, that selfish, you know. How long are we awake before our sinful nature does something? You know, we can guard our eyes, what we see. We can guard our tongue, but we find our imagination wanders without any help. We find there's some part of us internally that finds its way to sin, that finds itself to thoughts and imaginations, and that we daily need his mercy because we daily face that struggle. We're the beneficiaries of his compassions. We go to work, go to school, to our daily chores. How long does it take before we're crying out to him again? We get up and experience his mercies. We do. We have our devotional time with him, whatever that looks like, whatever form it is. There's no law to it. Listen to a tape, read a passage, say a prayer, get our heart in the right place, and somebody cuts us out in traffic and we've already become a murderer. We're not even to work. How long does it take before that nature exerts itself? He knows. Because he's the one who provides his mercies every day, not most days. His compassions never fail because our infirmities never fail. In John chapter 13, the remarkable passage there, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Some translations say, Jesus, knowing the Father had put all things under his power. Some say, knowing the Father had given all power into his hands. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands. What would you do with that? That blank check. God Almighty, the Father in heaven, has just put everything into your hands. Some people you'd take care of, isn't there? Somewhere in our life, we got one person and we think, you know, if I was God, I'd have dealt with this guy already. or some guy we see on the news or somewhere that says, if I was God, you know, let me tell you something. We're all glad you're not God, okay? God's even glad you're not God. Jesus, knowing the Father had put all things into his hands, it says he girt himself and he took a basin and filled it with water and took a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. Knowing that the Father had put all things into his hands, he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And when he comes to Peter, Peter says, no way, Lord. I don't know what Peter was thinking. The other guys didn't get it, but I get it. Lord, you're not gonna wash my feet. And the Lord says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. He said, Lord, I'll take a bath then. Do the whole thing. And the Lord says, no, once you've received my word, you're every whit clean. Once you've been saved, once you've received the word, you're clean. But only your feet need to be washed. There's the daily experience where we need renewal, we need mercy, we need compassion. We're saved, we're bound to heaven, but we fail in our daily experience. And Jesus, knowing all things were given into his hand, he girded himself and he took a bowl and a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he says, I've done this for an example unto you. But the point is, that's who he was. Because his mercies are new every morning. His compassions never fail. Well, why am I in this struggle? Why am I going through these things? I don't know the answer for each of our lives. I have the question in my own life sometimes. Why, Lord? I know James said this, count it all joy. I don't want to hear anymore after he says that, but he says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you might be complete and lacking in nothing. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. James says, you know, and again, James is old camel knees. That's what the church called him, old camel knees. He's the one who grew up in the house with Jesus. Five brothers, at least two sisters, and Mary, just at least nine people in the house. And James was the oldest and watched his eyes, listened to his voice, didn't understand who he was till after the resurrection. And James becomes old camel knees. He didn't want to go anywhere else but in his brother's presence. He didn't want to hear any voice but the voice of his older brother. He didn't want to be anywhere else. And he says, when you fall into various trials, count it all joy, knowing something, that the trial of your faith works patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you might be complete and perfect, mature, lacking nothing. If any man lacks wisdom, if you get into that circumstance, you don't know what's going on, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men. He's not begrudging. He's not going to say, why do you think you're in this mess? You're coming to me saying, why am I in this mess? You got yourself in that mess. Not you again. I knew you. No. His mercies are new. They're new every morning. He's not giving you yesterday's mercy today. He's not saying you used up all my mercy last week. He's saying today the measure of his mercy, the quality of his mercy, the strain of his mercy is new. It's never existed before. His mercies are new every morning. Today's mercies are unlike the mercies of any other day. And his compassions never fail. And great is his faithfulness. But what if he doesn't? But what if he... Wait a minute. He's been faithful all of these years, and now he's going to change? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him give us all things freely? He hasn't withheld anything. And the faithfulness that he's demonstrated to us every day of our lives to bring us to sitting in this church on Sunday morning, breathing, alive, with our lives filled with mercies that we don't count, we take for granted so often. He'll be the same God tomorrow. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I would challenge you, if you're here as an unbeliever, what will you do with this day? God loves you. You may have rebelled against him. You may be wrestling with him. You may say you hate him. He loves you. And he knows your pain and your emptiness. And he's given you another day to breathe, to live. He's kept your heart beating. There's an open door in front of you again to repent, to receive his forgiveness and his love. There's another day that's been handed to you. A day that you can change the direction of your eternal destiny. A day where you can wake up in the morning lost, estranged from God. Hopeless. Jeremiah was hopeless. And you can turn to him and ask forgiveness. And his mercy and his compassion will flood over your life. And he will embrace you as his own son or daughter. For the believer, we can get into this funky mindset where somehow we obsess on everything that's wrong. And the problem is, sometimes it's all reality. There are no pat answers for pat problems. There's nothing easy that another human being can say to us. There's only that place alone with God where we're locked up to God and no other human can intervene, where we have to take a step back and say, wait, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, so I'm falling back on what I do know. You have always been faithful. Your mercies are new every morning. Your compassions, they never fail. And when I set my mind on those things, hope springs afresh. And if it wasn't for those things, we'd have already been consumed. We'd have never made it this far. This I will recall to mind. Therefore, I'm going to have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Joe Foch. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Joe's teaching ministry by visiting ccphilly.org.